Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into life. Amen. Statue. Most likely defined as a carved or cast figure of a person or animal, typically life-size or larger. From the Latin word statua, the base word for stature and status. Most likely to be found at the top of a pedestal, step, or stand in high elevation. In the great state of Kentucky, most often depicted by famous racing horses or winning wildcats or statesmen or businessmen. A statue used to capture greatness and power or winnings. Statue from the Greek word statua, also meaning to stand. And the like of stature and status are often put on pedestals. And although statues are generally most likely depicted in an upright standing position, they do not always have to be depicted in such a way. I think of Michelangelo's Pietà, which pictures Mary, the mother of Jesus, seated, holding a dead and broken adult son. In places like Toronto and Davidson, South Carolina, and Chicago and Detroit and Dublin, Ireland, there is a statue known as Jesus the Homeless, which depicts Jesus sleeping on a park bench. And this week, while I was on retreat for preparation for my ordination yesterday, I ran into another type of statue located in Louisville. And this statue stands 5 feet and depicts a woman with 2 children in tow, one holding on her hip and the other holding her hand at her feet. And the statue is in movement and it's walking. And unlike many statues, it's not on a pedestal, it's on the ground. And if it wasn't for the fact that the statue was in 1820s fashionable clothing or in a bronze encasement, you might not notice that it was not a mother with her 2 children walking down the streets of Louisville. The statue, which was dedicated in July, is in honor of Catherine Spaulding, founder of the Roman Catholic Order Sisters Charity of Nazareth. And as part of our proud Kentucky children, this group was formed in 1812 out of the call from the Roman Catholic bishop. And unlike many other monastic communities, which sometimes have a specific charity, the Sisters of Charity of Nazareth have no specific focus. Their job is to meet charitable needs wherever they are called, which means that in the early 1800s, they opened orphanages for small children whose parents had died in the cholera epidemic. Hence, Sister Catherine Spaulding on the streets of Louisville caring for children and taking them to the orphanage. But since then, they have served as such things as nurses in the Civil War and educators to impoverished areas, including our own Appalachia. They were the first group in the state of Kentucky to offer care for AIDS patients, and they had to advocate for state legislature in order to do so. The sisters have chapters in Belize and Africa. In many places in the world, they continue to work with AIDS patients and education and whatever they are called to do. And wherever the least of these are in the world, the sisters almost always follow. So while I was there this week and thinking about this statue, I began to wonder, if we were to place a statue in our prayer garden, which depicted our community, what would it be? perhaps a parishioner praying over someone's hospital bed, or someone seated next door talking to a hungry person at Millshare. Or perhaps maybe a public service of healing gathered in this space when one of our own faces treatment. Or a parishioner knocking at the door with a tray of hot food while someone is grieving. Or a car dropping off food at God's Pantry or Project 5810. Or a social worker dropping off one of our boxes of food at a home visit. Or a friend quietly sitting with the dying. I don't know what our statue would look like, but I think all of those depict our community. Today, we are in the second Sunday of our stewardship season. And as we talked about last week, the theme for this season is we are called. And for the next few weeks, we as a community are discerning our gifts together. How we are all shared, called to share gifts of time and talent and treasure. And last week we talked about how through our baptism all of us received a gift to share. And those of you all that were here last week filled out a name tag which said, "Hello, my name is your name, and I am called to what you're called to do." And some of you immediately got it. Your name tags were immediately filled with your name and what you were called to do. Things like acolyte and verger and server and hospitality and steward and all kinds of wonderful things. But others of you still walk around with a blank name tag wondering what God has called you to do. And let me assure you that as of yesterday, God does not necessarily call just clergy. God calls the entire body of Christ to do the work. And that my call is now primarily tied to this table. And your call is primarily tied to the world outside these doors. And I think sometimes ministry is hard to discern. Hard to discern, for me at least, because I think sometimes we confuse the calling of Christ with the status and stature of the world. As if we have confused servitude with greatness, or that we expect if we are somehow called to Christ, it must be some grand gesture which will leave such an impact on the world that we will be in honor of being memorialized in a large statue upon our death. I think perhaps we confuse our call with the world, with things of grandeur and greatness and stature and elevation. That if we are called, we must somehow be prominent or important or distinguished or well known. When in fact, our Christian calling is the exact opposite of all those things. Humbleness, servitude, smallness. And today's gospel for us is explicit. The Christ of call is not the winning most person or the most NCAA wins or who came in first or who did the greatest deeds. The call of Christ is not about being the greatest or even in the presence of being the greatest. The call of Christ is to be the least and in the presence of the least. To sit with the dying, to sleep with the homeless, to listen to stories of the downtrodden, to care for the lonely and feed the hungry and soothe the sick. It involves our ability to simply be able to listen to the will of Christ and to live out Christ's example in any given situation. This is perhaps why the favorite name tag that I have seen floating around is the one which says, "Switch hitter." Signifying the ability to move into any situation in which Christ has called. and like Catherine Spaulding and the Sisters of Charity of Nazareth and the switch hitter, the calls of all of us change in different times and in different places where Jesus is needed the most. So perhaps Christ's call for all of us today does not involve some grand gesture of looking upward at a heavenly goal, or having your peers or the world place you on some great pedestal. Perhaps Christ's call for us today is to look downward, not upward. To stoop down as Christ stooped down to wash the feet of the disciples. Or like Catherine Spaulding, to pick up the hand of a lost child. Or like Mary looking down, caressing her dying son. Or someone reaching down to place a blanket over the homeless. For these are the words of our faith. Jesus sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all." He called the 12 and he calls us to reach down and raise up, to stoop down and help up, and to lower ourselves into humble servitude. And like Sister Catherine and the switch hitters and the Sisters of Nazareth, our call is to bring light and hope and love to wherever Christ is needed. So following the example of that call, may we not memorialize ourselves in lofty bronze statues, but instead memorialize ourselves in the presence of Christ, life eternal, the memorial of our redemption, a sacrifice for the whole world.